This week on RSBNB Update, the Max Cash update is here, and we're working in the quintillions. We nailed down the biggest benefits and the big question of whether or not it will reduce inflation. The community hit list does not disappoint, and we preview the woodcutter's grove. This is RSBNB Update, episode 939, recorded Thursday, June 15th, 2023. The Real Gold Sink. Hello, everybody, and thank you for joining us for another episode of RSBNB Update. It's Max Cash Update Week, an update that we thought might never happen, but oh boy, it's here now, and it's a big update. Tanis, welcome aboard.
Hi, Shane. Glad to be here. I'm dripping with ice.
Dripping with ice? What?
Yeah, man. I mean, I'm iced out. I got the drip. You know, Max Cash.
Okay.
No more.
Okay.
You know, I got the blue button. So watch out.
All right.
I'm holding.
Fair enough. Also joining us this week, we have two of our community contributors who have brought themselves forward, wanted to help out with the podcast and appear on the show. So first off, we have Brad, known as Defunct33, in-game. Welcome. Introduce the listeners to yourself. What's your biggest claim to fame in RS, if you have one?
I don't really have one, but I've been playing since Classic. And restarted a new account a little bit before Archaeology and just maxed it recently. But a lot of fresh start worlds too.
Nice.
But,
nice.
It's great to be on the show. Thanks for having me.
Right on. Also joining us is Iron Raxor, who you might have seen on a YouTube video before. 60,000 Archglacier kills. Welcome to the show.
Hey, glad to be here. I was kind of expecting the music to kick in when you started the intro.
Right. But the music's added in post. Give the listeners a bit of an introduction to yourself, aside from the 60,000 Archglacier kills.
Yeah, so I go by Iron Erexron Game, obviously meaning I'm an Iron Man. I used to play non-Iron, of course, but that account has long been surpassed by Iron Erexor. So... I'm comped, have done a ton of bossing, got more than half of the boss logs completed, done some crazy boss KC, as you mentioned just now. And I make videos recently.
Yeah, the Glacier, we were talking a bit about that in pre-show, that introductory scene on that video. So welcome to you. And I know you reached out a couple times past to be on the show, but we weren't able to make the timings work. So I'm glad that we could make the time work this week for you. But of course, aside from that, we've already given you our two guest names. Tanis can be found in the game at Tanis79, and I'm at Shane12088. We also have our French chat, BitsBytes, and the Discord at rsbnb.com/Discord. But of course, in addition to all of the introductions of the new people joining us on the show. Yeah, Max Cash Week. Held back a couple weeks back due to engine changes, and thank God it went out relatively fine without a hitch this week. I know there was a... And I like getting these bugs out of the way first. And the only bug I saw is that people were having some issues with the death cost stuff. And they fixed that, I think, within a few hours after that. But in the interim, they just turned on free deaths during that period. I don't know if anybody noticed that. But overall, I feel like this update has gone over relatively smoothly. And we're going to get into our thoughts on this. But I have to say the number. Because we have this number on the news post. And it's not like myself to not be able to know how to say numbers like this. So... Right now, prior to this update, the max cash value was, of course, about 2.1 bill. And factoring in the max stack of spirit shards, that would be about 53.6 bill. And then when you go way, 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 way beyond to where we're at today, the new max cash value is 2 quintillion, 147 quadrillion, 483 trillion, 649 billion, 100 47,483,647 GP. I don't think we'd ever imagine we'd be counting things into the quintillions here, or quintillions, did we?
Pretty penny. I don't know what you're saying, but that's what's going on here, yeah.
And there was a fun fact that this 2 quintillion number is bigger than the value of all of the items in-game presently. So if we ever hit this, we have other questions to ask in terms of, you know, one person and how much GP they have, I think, right?
Just a couple years worth of inflation and we'll be there.
Well, and that's the interesting question about this is that recall that when the Grand Exchange fee came in, I like calling it a fee, not a tariff or tax. Let's just call it a user convenience fee. There was a question of what happens to the RS economy in terms of inflation, because there was a question of, you know, is the tax going to be enough? Is the fee going to do what it has to do, or is there going to be other forms of gold sinks that are needed? But with items now being sold worth more than 2.1 bill, and we're going to get into some numbers on this, the amount of money that can be sucked out of the economy from the fee is actually quite large. And I actually want to go to you, Brad, on this, because you actually put together, in your view, 4 key bullet points of what we get from this max cash update, in addition to the bigger number. And I think we start off with the simplest, is that it saves players from accidentally selling items on the GE for 2.1 that are worth more than 2.1 bill, as we had happened before with, you know, the various dyes and whatnot that would be out there.
I mean, on that website that we don't mention on the podcast, I think, but you would see people posting their pictures of getting those buy offers that have been sitting there for years and years. And
yeah,
for me, as a newer player coming back, I just feel for those people that maybe don't know what they were doing, or potentially, you know, people that had their accounts scammed or something and put those on the G just to get as much money as they could fast.
Yeah.
But yeah, it definitely saves newer players from having that happen.
Yeah, and I mean, the fact you have to try and explain spirit shards to somebody who, you know, hasn't interacted with the GE before, has a lucky oyster, or a lucky, you know, clue scroll roll, and then has to figure out how to do spirit shards and winds up scamming themselves, that's a sad day, and that can't really happen anymore if they use the GE on this. And that leads to where we go next on this, is that, you know, we're talking about things like dyes and whatnot, but we also, of course, have things like Hazelmere's ring, Tony's mattock, the fishing rod, and so on and so forth. Fractured Staff is another big one, I think, too. Bow of the Last Guardian. All of these big items used to be sold for shards or in pieces, right? And now you might as well just use the GE on this, I think.
Yeah, I mean, we'll get into the numbers a little on the later bullet points, but Bow of the Last Guardian and the FSOA, there were like 500 bows that were sold in the first 3 days on the GE. And those are all at around 4 bill. And then almost 350 FSOAs. So people are really taking advantage of being able to buy and sell those. Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
I don't think people are saying no one's going to sell there. Just the pure inefficiency of trying to find someone on World 2 and not get scammed.
No, it's
not comparable.
You're not going to do that.
The ability to just throw it into the GE.
Yeah. And, you know, when you look at the Grand Exchange convenience fee, it's nothing compared to other games like ESO and whatnot. So, you know, you're still getting this for a steal, in my opinion, on
and
here.
And it's especially nothing compared to the potential loss of being scammed.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. And Shane knows how I feel about it. I mean, we start the fee at this, but as it, it's 10 bill. Okay.
You were worried about the fee for scaling supplies. And we're going to get, actually, I'll just say that.
Look, it turns out it ended up being a progressive tax, Shane. See? So now I'm happy.
All right. And then we get to, of course, the website that shall not be named, and, you know, merchanting clans. That's going to be an interesting one to watch, in particular when it comes to rare items, I think. Because I have to point out that with this update, they also modified the Grand Exchange section of the website so that if you go and you look something up, it actually shows trade volumes now for rare items, which is...
It shows it for every item, actually.
Yeah, but the rare items, it's wild. Like looking at the Red Santa hat, 171 sold on the Grand Exchange on the 12th, 118 on the 15th. So people are using this to trade rares. The black Santa hat, 26, 26, 25. Things are moving. And this has been something that we had wanted to see for ages when it comes to the Grand Exchange, the trade volumes. And I remember, do any of you guys remember a live stream from way back when that they said that they couldn't do this because of they didn't want to impact the market? They couldn't put these kind of things out there, the trade volumes?
I don't, but I do want to say if the numbers you two just mentioned, I'm just thinking about them. They kind of surprised me that you said 26 black Santa hats and 300 or 250 fractured staves. I would it's 10 times, obviously, 10 times the amount, but I would assume it would be like 1,000 times the amount because black Santa hat feels to me like something you have and you keep on forever, but Fasowa is like, it's a piece of item, it's an item that everyone uses all the time, and it's a drop that keeps coming in, so I would assume that gets traded a lot more, but I guess not.
Yeah, and it really then shows the different levels of classes of items that we have that maybe, you know, we put the weapons like the Fasowa and the bow in a different category, when in reality, they're in kind of the same category as those obscenely priced rares. And I'm trying to pull up the party hats on the Grand Exchange website, but I can't seem to find them right now for some reason.
Party hats, yeah.
Are you spelling party hat with a space or without?
Without.
You were there yesterday when I was collecting the numbers for the next section.
Oh,
but
okay.
Maybe they removed them, who knows?
Hang on. Yeah, if I search for blue party hat, it doesn't return any results. But if I just put party hat in, it comes back for some reason with results. Fascinating. I'm just going to pick one. White party hat. 10 of them sold on the 15th. Amazing stuff. We'll have to wait and see, of course, where the price equalizes because, you know, we don't know what they're being sold for and how long it's going to take these Grand Exchange numbers to catch up to where they're actually at, because they are definitely selling and were worth more than, you know, 2.148 as was the last number on the 15th. And they said in the news post that they were going to forgo for the time of manually editing any prices and monitor the mid price of max integer items like party hats, and then if a stable price emerges on that, they'll look to update them accordingly after the fact, which I think is the smart path to go on there. But I want to move on to the last big point that you brought up, Brad, and that's that this update has the possibility of greatly mitigating or maybe even completely reversing RuneScape 3's inflation problem. And you did some manual numbers on this based on these trade volumes. So what do you see? What do you feel with this?
So basically I looked at all just items that are valued at over max cash. So things that wouldn't be traded in volume, hopefully not at all on the GE in the past. And I basically looked at the first 3 days since the update came out, and using the volume that we were just talking about that you can see on the GE website, and then trying to find price estimates on some third-party websites that try to do price checkers. So again, take it with a grain of salt. Some of these numbers might be a little off, but from my estimated calculations, in 3 days, there's been about $370 billion or billion GP in tax collected at 122 bill per day. And if we look, if you look back at the GE tax back update news post back in January, the delta that they were looking on a daily basis to mitigate with removing death costs was about 88 bill. So just in rares in the first 3 days, they're doing way more than reversing that. So if these items continue to be traded on the GE, we're looking at basically removing wealth through the richest players in the game, which will only help anyone that, you know, could only dream of ever affording a party hat, but it'll make their buying power go up as that biggest money sink that we'll ever see in the game, in my opinion, was dropped on Monday this week. So,
isn't that wild that the whole reason the GE couldn't serve this purpose before was because of the 2.1 bill limit?
Who would have thought, Shane? It seems like someone came on and you were on Earth and you thought I was crazy. It turns out if you go where the money is, you can actually address inflation.
And that's what Brad, we said.
Brad is my best buddy now.
But like, that's what we said since the beginning. And to be fair, there was the question that you had about the people farming skilling supplies and such and how that would impact them. And we told you back then that this will hit the bigger items more. And the unfortunate thing was is that they really weren't traded that much. And, you know, still looking at an item that was selling for, you know, 400 to 700 mil, that would still take a very sizable chunk of money out of the RS economy. But now working beyond 2.1 bill, that's even larger than that.
Well, yeah, this is exactly proves like what I was saying, that like that purchasing power that money represents for someone with less, it's a much bigger percentage.
Yeah, like just looking at this, all the fractured staffs that moved took out 40 bill.
Both the last Guardians took about 40 bill.
Right.
FSOA is about 18 bill
in
the first 3 days.
I misread the columns there. And it looks like the biggest one was that Bo the Last Guardian, interestingly enough, of what you got here on this list.
Watch, they turned off the death cost accidentally because they had to this week, and then this data comes in, they're like, actually, we could turn this shit off. Like,
and wouldn't that be something? Like, wouldn't that be something if this draws out so much money that death costs could go bye-bye?
Yeah, I mean, it'd be like, well, I didn't mean to do it, but hey, we'll take it.
I'm very curious what the percentage increase is that this is taking out of the game, because obviously these are all extremely big items that now get added, but I feel like most of the trades are still skilling supplies, at least as far as the value in total.
In terms of volume.
So I'm wondering if we'll ever get the numbers from Jagex.
What type of increase
this is adding to gold sinks.
And I actually did some looking on this to see if any of the endpoints that we use to pull prices, because we store prices as well on this, had been updated to include the values that you see, the trade volumes that you see on these pages. And unfortunately, they haven't. And if you could look at that in aggregate, you would be able to kind of calculate that a little bit better at that point. And, you know, I'm not one to go and, you know, scrape thousands of HTML pages from Jagex's website, because that's not a nice thing to do. But it would be nice to know where exactly that lies and what the point is on that. And that's such a good point there, Rax, because these numbers here for the tax are eye-watering, right? But at the same time, we don't know how that compares to what was being sucked out before, right? In terms of like percentage value. So that's a very good point.
Well, the news post I referenced back in January, they did mention what they were trying to, based on like previous norms of GE movement of that's why they settled on 2%.
Yeah,
because that would fill the median of the 88 bill that they were looking at, the delta. But I do think this was a very concerted effort by the dev team that I don't think they really showed their hand. I think they were trying to use this all along as a deflationary tactic.
Right.
That's why they didn't. If you look at the RS3 GE tax compared to OSRS, which they basically mimicked it, except for one thing, and that's a 5 mil max tax that they have on items. Well, in OSRS, it's a 1% tax, so anything over 500 mil would have the same baseline tax of 5 mil. But I think it was a very concerted decision that they made to Well, they tried to force this update back when the tax update
and
came out.
And the
out.
Death cost, yeah. Because remember, this was all supposed to launch in January. The fee, the death cost, and this, but they had to put them out separately. And it's also important to note that this just wasn't, you know, something, a product of the dev team. Montimbo, I think it was, and the dev team actually consulted with actual economists on this.
Mm-hmm.
Trained economists.
Yeah, I recall Mojex stating that he was, I think it's the beginning of this year, maybe. He stated that in his eyes, the biggest problem for RS at the time was inflation. So clearly now we've had death costs, we've had the fee, and now we've had this. So clearly we're seeing all these steps being taken to address that. And I think we're in a pretty good space now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Tanis.
Oh, I was just going to say, like, I agree with that. And all I know is those must not have been American economists, because it makes sense to me.
Economists are blind in terms, an economist should be blind in terms of that, because it can be presented as a very theoretical math-based field.
No, I
it
just
should
I
be.
Love it.
It should be.
Think what Tanis is saying, that if it was, then the party heads would be exempt from taxes.
yes. Exactly.
And you know there's some mergers out there that would like that.
Oh yeah, this was a bad day, but I'm sure they're just trying to muscle in on the the supply, and I don't know.
All right.
I'm super thrilled with this. This is good. I mean,
yeah, we just need to watch what happens going forward, I think. So
yeah, and then let's do the same thing to the XP.
In terms of what Jack was talking about, how XP is too cheap these days, in terms of just that you can get it so easily. That.
I think he's saying the 200. Are you, Tanis? Are you alluding to a 2 quintillion?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
XP maximum.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. Exactly.
Yeah, and then people. Yep. Yeah, then you'd have a conversation with the community on that, I think. So.
Well, you would have a never-ending race, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Yeah. Each skill would have their one. Gold.
Exactly. You might have some movement in the highest scores, fine, you know? Like.
All right. Closing thoughts on this. Let's go to you, Rax. Any closing thoughts on this?
Yeah. Honestly, I'm excited to get onto the next part, because I think this is great. This is probably one of the most impactful updates for the game health as in general, but as someone who mains the Ironman game mode, it doesn't really impact me.
Right.
I don't often hit the max cash deck, believe it or not. Great for the game. I'm here for the patch notes.
All right. Brad?
Yeah, I mean, my main takeaway is this is a huge quality of life for any new player. You know, having to juggle what the heck max cash is for someone coming into the game is not appealing thing to think about. And then I think underlying this update is a good couple years of deflation, where the buying power of any of the main non-irons will start seeing gains.
Yeah.
So I'm excited to see how this moves forward, and how prices start to equalize at you know, we'll be able to see that. It won't be controlled by third-party websites and stuff like that. We'll be able to see where these items actually land.
That's so wonderful. Yeah. Seeing that. So fingers crossed on that. But as we mentioned, this week's also patch note week, with the first community hit list, Ninja Strike. And oh boy, there's a ton of patch notes in here that are, in my view, marked as potential patch note of the year candidate. So we're going to go through these. You guys just jump in if you want to jump up and down about any of these. So we start off with wilderness teleport restrictions being removed when you are opted out of PvP. I know for me, this is a big one on the farming runs, in that even with PvP off, I've had to use the Obelisk network to go below level 20 and then teleport away from there. But now that can just be done in the patch, which is just so nice.
Yeah, this one really didn't make sense as soon as the Wildy changes went in, to be honest. As you mentioned, the Wildy, the Herp patch, having to surge down to teleport out. Another one I can think of is, if you are someone who likes to do Wildy Slayer, you can use your cape to teleport to the master, and now you can teleport right out. Get to your task quickly.
Oh, that's good. That's good. Okay. I didn't think of that one because I'm not much of a Slayer person. Another one that comes to mind, wilderness chest thieving. Up there, teleport away from that. Lots of good options for that. They also added a quick chat option to display how many wilderness events you've completed. I don't know who wanted this, but okay. I figured I'd put this one in to see if you guys have any affinity towards this one.
It was interesting to see, after this update dropped, going to those events, everyone was chatting, I've done 50, I've done 100, I've done 500, some lunatic did 1,000.
Oh god. The Wilderness Flash event teleport can now also be accessed from Wilderness Sword 4, as well as the hosts in Edgeville, though you will still need to complete the far-reaching and wild-ranging achievement to use it. So just a quality of life thing around the edges. If you had that teleport before, now you can just access it from your wilderness sword. Also, removing the demonic skull will no longer leave you opted into PvP. If you are carrying the demonic skull on you and you enter the wilderness, you will be skulled, but upon leaving, you will be able to remove the demonic skull and not need to opt out of PvP at the NPC. So that was something that was happening. You'd walk in with the demonic skull, it would turn PvP on, and then if you would go back in at a later date, it would still leave PvP on, which I guess is a bit of a confusing state when you think about it, right?
Yeah, this was one of those common lure tactics too.
Okay.
You'd have somebody say, hey, you want to be my friend? You want to go do some rune crafting together? And then later on, you'd say, hey, like, let's go, you know, fight a boss. Just join on me. And then they'd be in deep wilderness and with all their stuff and have their whole clan ready to take you out.
Yeah, like, I'll be honest.
This is a huge one.
Yeah, I'll be honest. I won't fully be at rest and feel safe in the wildy until PvP is just completely gone. Because even now, when I go, some part of me is like, there's gonna be some weird mechanic that I'm still gonna die. But yeah,
I still don't wear my best.
Exactly. That's
even though I know, like, it's safe, like, I still don't wear, you know. I'm
curious why they're keeping PvP even in the game at this point.
Yeah.
That's a discussion for another time, I think.
You know, yeah. I don't have an answer to that one, and answering that might be interesting. I'm going to write that down. Why is PvP
maybe a weekly
still
bit?
A thing? Yeah.
Just kidding.
Yeah. That's where these ideas come from. So, God books can now be charged with multiple pages at once. This includes the Illuminated God Books, Elder God War Scriptures, and the Erethor's Grimoire. I thought we could already do this. Though, did we have to put them on one?
The difference is, yeah, you would have to spam click between them. Oh, okay. And now you just click on the page, type in whatever amount you want, and it just fills it up right away. Very nice, to be honest.
All right.
There was a little bit of a bug with this one when it first came out. I don't know if any of you heard about it. For the first, I think, hour or two, you could add one page to any of your books and it would go to full 24 hours. So that was like 200 mil in grimoire pages that people were getting.
Yeah, sad. So, mine was already at max capacity when the update dropped.
I assume we didn't roll that back.
Books jumped up in price because people were trying to buy extras and just put one page in them to keep on the side. But he fixed it fast, luckily.
Training dummy replacement has been extended around the banks. I didn't actually test how wide this is, but you know that's good, I guess. On that, a fill all option has been added to the blessed flask in the inventory and bank. You can use this to fill it with all available extreme prayer potions in your inventory.
This is going to be nice. I literally just made this thing. If you know, it's an insane grind.
Yeah.
To kind of put it all together. Yeah. But, you know, the porter buff kind of MVP'd there.
Oh, from the golden cape hunt?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, fair. Yeah, I did mine over Christmas 21, and it basically took from the start of December until the first week of January to do with the pace I was going at on that. So it's a grind. It's a grind.
I'm putting together a video on the whole thing that I hope to... It's not going to be out by the time this is out, so... But it'll be out at some point.
They made Blessed Sand tradable a few weeks back as well. So there's that. Though, of course, that doesn't impact you as an Iron Man. And then this is a big one in Tanis' wheelhouse. Text and dialogue boxes now scales to a larger font size where possible.
Awesome. I mean, I'm really glad to see this. I'll be even happier. I mean, we're almost there. We're almost to a dialogue box reader. We're almost there.
Yeah, just to allay any confusion on this, it's not at all linked to the font size that you select for your chat. You might think that would be the case, but it is, from what I can tell, just it sizes up to as big as it can be so that it will fit in the dialogue box, completely independent of your chat size, even though it's the same font. And then we get to the Iron Man section. Iron players can now receive the effects from the following abilities from other players, assuming they have unlocked the non-skill requirements. These include Intercept, Heal Other and Heal Group, Vengeance Other and Vengeance Group, Ruby Aurora, and the Calgarian Demon Familiar Special, which is, of course, Critical. Rax?
Yeah. All these spells are essentially designed to cast on other people. It's like your support skills, essentially. And
yeah,
especially with Zamorak almost relying on some of these, or at least being very beneficial if you're in a team. Getting that buff and sharing the responsibility of certain buffs has been a big thing at higher level bosses recently. And it was just a bit strange that Irons couldn't use that. I guess the intention of that initially was to not allow some main accounts to intercept you and allow you to do bosses early on to get ahead in Ironman mode. Which I guess is possible now, but to be honest, ever since you can PVM with main accounts.
I was just going to say that.
Those doors have been open, so...
Yeah. And I also just want to draw attention to Ruby Aurora again, because that's not something that we really talk about that often, but it's actually a really, really interesting spell. It's fire-based, but every time it hits, it has a chance to increase damage output by 1% up to 3 stacks to all players within a 5-tile radius on there. I don't know... Like, it's an interesting spell from that support angle, but I still don't know if there's a major use case for it in group PVM.
Well, essentially, depending on, of course, some groups might not do it because you have to spell swap. But essentially, in bigger boss fights, which is your Viragos, AOD, and Zamorak, of course, more recently, and even Solek, you'll have some person, so at least one person, who, after doing their tsunami with the Insight Fear spell, I believe it's called, they will swap to Ruby Aurora. And it's quite significant of a buff. It's like essentially another Vuln, which is quite standard.
Yeah. Okay. I know we talked about at some point doing that at raids, just having one person run that, but then you get into the whole, like you said, spell swap issue, and it raises the question again of, you know, supportscape and whatnot, which we like to be a playstyle, but as with many things on that, I don't think we're 100% there yet. Moving on, pineapples and seaweed can be bought from Arhine either through the right-click option or via packs in the shop. I need to underscore again that pineapples are one of the best ways out there that you can do your own super compost if you're wanting to make it yourself. And having this available is a wonderful option that I think would have changed my life in Fresh Start Worlds. I don't really need this now since I have Ultra Compost, but for anybody starting farming, this is a big one. And I guess for seaweed, we're using that to convert to soda ash and do glass. Yeah. Okay. Fair enough.
Adopting that from OSRS. It's like the standard Iron Man way of crafting.
Yeah, I even did that on Fresh Start to the first batch of levels, I think, if I remember correctly. And then here's another huge one. Area loot radius has been adjusted on the PC client to match that of mobile. People didn't know this, but mobile actually had a wider area loot range before this.
Yes, this was actually my number one thing that I put on the list.
Okay.
Along with another one, which is on mobile, there's still one difference, which is that if you loot something, well, it's the last item on the ground, it will close the loot interface, while on PC it stays open.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So that's the one thing I hope to see in the next patch note. Patch.
Oh, that's interesting. I know whenever I do combat, I always just leave my loot window open.
Oh, this is beautiful for the player own dungeon. It's lovely.
And alongside with the Lorehound too, you can make it even bigger, right? That works on PC too.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
It was silly that the PC and mobile had two different loot areas. I always found that didn't really make much sense.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't. And you know,
The reasoning is on mobile you don't want to move around as much, so they just kind of buffed it. But I guess interesting that they didn't do it globally.
I think I remember in the mobile beta that they actually made this change. If I remember correctly, mm-hmm. I think it might have been a mobile beta thing where that came in. So,
yeah.
Players are no longer prevented from moving when using rapid fire, well equipped with fleeting boots and the Shadow Glaive. That's a good fleeting boots rapid fire fix. But there's still another one where if something dies while you're stunned with rapid fire, that stun will persist if you have those fleeting boots on at some point. So that, much like the previous one, it's a good patch note, but it could be taken one step further at some point. And then clue scan sounds have been audibly rebalanced to sound clear, which I think is good from an accessibility angle, specifically when doing those clue scans. So overall, I think this is a pretty darn good patch note week, given that this is community hit list number one. And I think there's a number of candidates in here for patch note of the year, if I'm being honest. And we'll have to wait and see where we go from this. I don't want to make any pronouncements right now on this, but I feel like it's definitely in that category. Would you guys agree with that or no?
Yeah, I'll be elated if there's a better one coming out.
Yeah.
All right.
I think they set themselves up for success here with this first community hit list. If they continue to do these on a regular basis, amount of quality of life improvements over the course of, you know, 6 months is going to be astronomical.
Yeah, and you know, you always go back and go back to when Mod Keeper first came on the scene. And of course, his two big things were to focus on letting the team do what they do, but also listen to the players when it comes to things like quality of life. And I feel like it's taken us a while to get here on that. But I think if you just ship this as an update in itself, I think people would have been happy with it just seeing this. And it's interesting. It's interesting. We don't have a subreddit to see what the reaction to this would have been this week. Now, do we? But I have a feeling that the community is in a better place this week because of these. And the sentiment I've seen has definitely been more on the positive side this week than in weeks where it's on the negative side, if that makes sense, based on these patches. So I think they hit the spot. But we could just amp it up again next week, you know, right? We could just amp it up again next week. We could do that. 100% could do that. Because we have to talk about the Woodcutter's Grove. But before we do that, I know I'm just hold on, Tanis. Hold on.
Oh, come on, Shane. Come on, man.
We ought to thank our Patreon supporters for this episode, because without these guys, we wouldn't get to do all the fun stuff that we do, like our most recent meta monthly bit, which I was a little bit concerned going into, but the feedback on that one has actually been positive. So thank you to everybody who submitted positive feedback on that one, a 5-year retrospective on monthly bits. So this week, I would like to thank Alfie S., Amos Reed, Andrew C., Arvids L., Big Huge Rat, Chunk the Monk, Cycle RS, Drama Free, Duramax, Free Milk, Jacob G., Jade Gizmo, Jason S., Jeebus, Jesse W., Keski, Ling01, Maniac RS, Mohan V., Nate the Great, Nick G., Parnassius, Ricky A., RS Nerdherd, Samuel FL, Scott DS, Shirtpants, Stub Eve, Tabby, The Naked Captain, The Dabbing Goat, Tim, Tom V, and Zant. Thank you, everybody, for your support. Truly means the world to us. And as I mentioned, there's that entire back catalog of monthly bits, extra bonus shows available at patreon.com/rsbnb. You get access to the entire library for as little as a dollar a month. And in addition to that, you, of course, are also helping fund the cost for hosting and production of RSBNB Update. We also have a VIP tier where you get a special rank on Discord, a special chat channel, and high-quality stereo versions of the show in addition to everything else. And with that, you also get a mention on the podcast at the start of the month. And if you want to give the ultimate gift, we have a $5 tier where you'll receive a shout-out on the podcast each and every week and gain exclusive access to the outtakes that we use to make the clip show at the end of the year in addition to everything else. So, of course, a big, big, huge thank you goes out to our Patreon supporters, because without you guys, we wouldn't get to do all the fun stuff that we do, the extracurricular stuff that I say, the roundtables, the monthly bits, so on and so forth. So thank you so much, everybody. It means the world to us.
Thanks.
All right. Woodcutter's Grove coming on Monday. The woodcutting update that everybody's been jumping up and down about.
Woodcutting update? You mean the skilling update? You mean the finishing touches of 4 and 3? You mean what's a duke without wood?
A duke without wood, eh? Okay.
Yeah.
I don't get that, but fair enough. This is
a dungeon, Shane.
This is a very substantial woodcutting update, to the point, and we're going to see, I want to, of course, pass judgment on it when it arrives, but looking at this from a very high-level overview, I feel like the only thing missing from a potential woodcutting rework are making trees non-competitive and that high-level, self-craftable overload style item like we had with Masterwork, for example. I feel like that's the only thing missing at this point with these changes here. So,
And I would be happy with just non-competitive trees, but we are talking, like, it looks like there's going to, you're going to have, given where the Woodcutter's Grove is, it could be different spawn times. It may not be, like, competitive in the traditional way.
Okay.
I mean, if you think about
well,
it,
I think
right?
they would have mentioned that in the live stream this week if they were going that way.
Well, so. Either way, it's still very close to what we have, you know, laid out as a
yeah. That was the first thing I thought as well. Brad,
Rex? It's actually a good point, Dennis. Yeah, I didn't even think about that when they were going over the Grove, but just like, you know, everyone's chapel could potentially look different in the fort. Why wouldn't they be able to have everybody's Grove look different?
And right. Does that customization persist?
Well, I mean, could that elder tree be perhaps, you know,
a maple tree for someone that didn't have an elder? Or
right, or is it just local to your... It might be non-competitive in the sense that, yeah, it gets cut down, but it might be just you that's technically swinging at it.
Once again, I feel like they would have said something if that was the case
live
stream.
Yeah, that's interesting. I've always thought it's interesting in general. Like, I'm very curious what their design ideology is behind the whole non-competitive versus competitive.
Yeah.
Because especially after mining, I thought, okay, they're completely going all in on the non-competitive route. But then when archaeology came out, you have both things right in there. Like when you're
true.
Excavating,
yeah.
It's non-competitive. But especially on release, try getting some materials from the material caches. Not such a fun thing.
Nope. Yeah, that's true. It did. It had both.
Yeah. Okay. So let's dive into some of this then. Now that we got everybody's initial thoughts here. I'm going to start with the hatchet rebalance because we were under the impression, at least I was, with, you know, needing level 70 to use the crystal hatchet, that it was a tier 70 hatchet. But in reality, Dragon was tier 55 and Crystal was tier 57.5. That is getting changed. So the Dragon is being made a tier 60 hatchet, so better than the current Crystal. And Crystal is going up to tier 70.
Yeah, because who came up with 57.5? Like, huh? I'm sure there is a mathematical equation for all that, but let's keep it simple for Tanis here. That's too much math.
Like, I think the reason for that was that it, behind the scenes, the way something was calculated, either the way trees get chopped down or something, if you went too much higher, it would like break down how wood cutting works.
Oh,
they might have changed that.
Oh.
Okay.
And when we look at the tree rebalance, you can see why they did that as well with this here. The hatchet levels got re-tiered with this. So we have the crystal at tier 70 and then the Mkando at tier 80. But with this, log levels and requirements have also been re-tiered. So regular remains at 1. Oak drops to 10 from 15. Willow drops to 20 from 30. Teak drops to 30 from 35. Maple drops to 40 from 45. Acacia goes up to 50. Mahogany jumps to 60. Yew jumps to 70, which is, of course, changing from where it's been since the beginning. Magic is now tier 80, and Elder stays the same at tier 90. And with this, they've also rebalanced XP rates. But I'm not going to talk about XP rates this week until we get our hands on the actual numbers, because a relative chart here does nothing for us.
But the tiers, isn't that nice? Like, they were able to... There was enough content that they could kind of spread out in a way that they weren't able to do with mining and smithing, where they had to fundamentally do. But there was enough here that they could spread those tiers out in a logical way. Like, I'm looking forward to this. I think this is going to be a great skilling update.
Yeah. How do we feel about the tiers, guys, in general? About the tier rebalancing in the mid-range, I guess?
I like it. I think it's a way more clear, concise way to do things. I don't know if any others of you tried to equip or use a rune hatchet at level 40 in FS Fresh Start World.
Yep.
And you're like, wait, what? I have to wait another level? It's just so random with 41 and then trees being kind of like 1 to 15, level 1 to 15. Kind of a slog with just individual logs. I like it. It's a lot more aligned with other things in the game, I think.
Yeah, fair. And just looking at the XP chart, the relative XP chart, nothing is taking a nerf next week. So there's that. The biggest jumps seem to come from you, Magic, Elder, Eucalyptus, and Blisterwood, amongst all things, I think, based on this. Oh, and Maple as well. And as I said, we'll jump in on XP rates with this next week, because that's going to vary based on tools and equipment and perks and all that other jazz around that. So there's that. They also, with this, increased chop speed for a number of trees out there as well, and increased XP per cut on these trees with this too. Specifically looking at you, Magic, significantly increased, Elder increased.
Thank goodness.
Am I the only one? And I realize I might be jumping out in front of a freight train on this. Am I the only one who wants to see logs now removed from drop tables after this week?
Well, it's funny, when Mod Doom showed off on the live stream Wood Spirits, the entire Twitch chat was just, no, and I think everyone thought,
no, they're not coming from drops.
Yeah, not yet, at least. They're not replacing wood drops with them, but it was funny.
Like I feel like that's one of the biggest problems out there, is that just, you know, Magic logs are in the toilet in terms of price this week, even still after this news post, whereas Elder logs, I was selling Elder logs for between 15 and 19k yesterday each.
Well, and the speed in which wood cutting takes place, it's atrocious.
Yeah.
So it needed.
I
needs a little pick me up.
I am happy I made about 25 mil off my existing supply of Elder logs, though.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, that's how many I was sitting on. And we'll have to wait and see what the price does on that with the increased chop rate on here to see if more people cut them. But, you know, I feel like wood cutting is one of the more mundane things out there that people will.
Oh, it doesn't matter if more people cut them. Now, the part we haven't talked about, this is the reason we're going to be cutting them and what we need them for.
I want to talk about the Woodcutter's Grove building first, and then we'll get to why you're going
to
want all these.
I want to also point out one smaller, like very niche thing as well. I wonder if they rebalance in any way the skilling offhand that you have from Crotus that allows you to get arrow tips from this, because if that stays the same, and you get a lot more Elder logs over time, like you're going to be getting a lot more arrow tips.
Well, so it's probably a good thing, right? I mean, it probably won't matter because
it doesn't matter because those arrow tips are already dirt cheap.
Yeah,
it
doesn't matter to you guys, but to me, this is a big part.
Good point. And considering how powerful splintering arrows are, you want those, right?
Yeah, exactly. I have the Bow of the Last Guardian. I've had it since the first month of release, but I've only used it like once because the arrow upkeep is just almost impossible.
Right, and I bet you with that you also want the Iron Man Dine Arrow changes too.
I could take some of those.
All right. So the Grove, the Woodcutter's Grove, the building, as with all the fort buildings, three tiers. Tier 1 gives you normal and oak trees in the grove, as well as the ability to store log spirits in your wood box. The log piles in the grove can also be used to deposit logs directly to your bank, and bird's nest well-found wood cutting will automatically be put into your backpack. So no more missing out on those.
Yay.
But it gets better.
That's huge.
Tier 2 unlocks willow and yew trees and choking ivy in the woodcutter's grove, as well as a fairy ring and a farming tree patch. Bird's nest will now be stored in the wood box, and bird's nests found while woodcutting are automatically stored into the wood box. So they bypass your inventory at tier 2. Now, for tier 3, you get an elder tree in the woodcutter's grove, the ability to obtain the Imkando hatchet pieces from bird's nests, and bird's nests obtained from the woodcutting after completing this upgrade have improved rewards. We don't know what those improved rewards are yet. Thurgo will create an Imkando hatchet with all four Imkando hatchet pieces and additional materials, which is a dragon hatchet not the crystal hatchet. So you are going to need another dragon hatchet going into this update. So for folks who want
to... more reason to do Dagonoff? What? The economy's through the freaking roof for a casual regular player this week? What? What? Tell me more.
That's all I have for the three buildings in the Woodcutter's Grove right now. Until next week, until we get our hands on it, of course. I mean, you seem to be over the roof for this. It's huge, of course.
It's a good time to be playing RS. I mean,
as a skiller,
what a difference! As a skiller, as a, like I said, as a casual player who does not have tons of time or the utmost skill in PVM. I mean, you can the bone rush is still on, you know, the subjugation still a thing. Corp is still good.
Yeah.
Now you have all these logs are going to be in demand. It's an unbelievable, like, and you know what it shows, that what we have been trying to share with people.
The parity of skilling.
Well, that, but think about the way, think about the content that we're getting and the way that it's been being released. Like, I'm sorry, guys.
Expansions in the name?
Without the name? Shane.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. This is all stuff.
Because, like, imagine if you would have packed this in with that first 4.3 update a couple months ago, right? Granted.
Well, I was thinking about that. Foundations, right? Yeah. It sure was.
Yeah. And you know, we can also say, and, you know, this might sound like we're sugarcoating things. People always say, oh, Jagex doesn't know what they're doing. But maybe you mentioned the foundations. Maybe the name New Foundations had more of a meaning than just the foundations of the fort, but a set of new foundations for the way the season is going to work.
Well, yeah, we're getting a light. This is basically a light woodcutting and construction rework that lays the foundations for what they can layer and do with it going forward. Like,
I took the words right out of my mouth. I think this is.
There you go.
I know in previous regimes of Jagex, they were saying, oh, we don't really want to do rework of old skills. But I think a lot of the players were saying, we don't need you to go all the way back to the mining and smithing way of, you know, cutting it all the way back to nothing and building it from there. These, like, quality of life plus rebalance plus making woodcutting relevant again and interesting and, you know, comparable at a XP per hour level. This is exciting for even, you know, I would say non-skill heavy people too. It makes the game more well-rounded. They don't need to do huge updates, and they can put these out piecemeal in smaller batches.
Yeah, bingo.
Well, and here's one of the major differences I think they've figured out is it doesn't have to be that big rework if you can kind of lay the groundwork, and then you can, you know, to me, this looks like what we saw with farming and herblore going to 120, right? This is, it's just not in that area, you know, because construction's actually getting a lot of new, yeah, it's getting a lot of new stuff.
Yeah.
And I don't know.
We'll have to wait and see on the training methods. And it all comes back to that question of, you know, we opened the season with the name New Foundations. I have to wonder, did that mean internally that that's a new direction and a new perspective for this season, that there's going to be things that are going to iterate? And I feel like the initial construction XP was a bit of a dud on that, and we're seeing a response to that this week. And we're seeing updates that, in effect, move and shape the game in a different direction from where they were at, which I think is kind of how they like to do things in the past, but it's certainly also a new perspective as well.
But this is why it felt like there was something missing, because there was. Like, this had been, I think
this had just been held back. Like, it just wasn't ready. I mean, it could have all went at the same time, but we know how that goes.
Yeah.
I think there was, this is what was missing. We got to talk about the construction because
we're going there next. I just want to say one more thing on the woodcutting stuff, and in particular the Mkando fragments. Existing nests that you already have or that you get from Miscellanea will not work until this update launches. So every nest that you're going to need to collect these fragments is going to have to be gathered after you have Tier 3 at the Grove, just in case anybody out there has a collection of nests available.
Yeah, there should be new nests, kind of like the bird eggs, and it's probably going to be a nest where you can see the piece in it, gold.
Yeah, exactly. All right.
I'm interested about the wood spirits, how those are going to come, like how fast those are going to come into the game, or if it's kind of going to be dead content until it's added to other drop tables. Because if they're coming in from birds' nests.
I don't know. That reminds me of the other point I was trying to make, is there's a relevance to it, right? Like, they're giving, if you give people a reason to engage in the content, sometimes that's even more important than doing something that you think you're just fixing or making better. Like, you're giving people a reason to do woodcutting. That changed. You gave people reasons to kill monsters dropping bones. You gave people a reason to go and do a God Wars Dungeon 1 boss. Like, all this stuff you can revitalize through these updates in this way that we don't often think about. But I don't need a ton. If you give me a reason to play my game, like, I just need it to be kind of worthwhile, right?
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair.
I agree. I think it'll be really interesting to see what the Mkando drop rates are going to be. Because I think there will be, you know, a select group of EVMers or people that are not into skilling they want the best axe, but you know, how many hours is it going to take?
But why are they going to need it? Like, if they already have 120 construction. Okay, fair.
Yeah, I don't know.
Let's move on to the construction side of this now, because there's also, with this, they're adding a whole boatload of new frames and planks, such as the maple frames and planks, Acadia, yew, magic, and yes, elder planks and frames. And as such, with this, they are updating the way fort building upgrades work. So there is a world where at the very end, at the very high tiers of this, the Tier 3 chapel, guardhouse, and command centers will need elder frames.
And a lot of them.
And a lot of them, yeah. So yeah. One frame
forts, people.
is in effect of 12 logs or 12 planks. So for one Tier 3 command center, you're going to need 960 elder logs or planks. For the guardhouse, you're going to need another 840. For the chapel, you're going to need 600. And I guess if there's one thing with this, go build the Tier 3s of the existing buildings before this update launches so that you don't have to spend that amount if you don't want to.
Mm-hmm. And if you have to, remember, proteins are a thing.
Yes, that works too. Good point. But we have an entire rebalance to the way construction XP now works at the fort here. And you know, there's a handy dandy chart of the woodcutting XP rebalance, but there wasn't one for the construction rebalance. So Zerdones, who you might have heard on the podcast before, built his own chart this week and similarly shows just how paltry the XPs were at 99 before and how they have all shot up now under this new construction rebalance here with this. Of course, with this, we know that they're also going to take longer to build, so we don't know if the XPs per hour are going to change, but we do know it will be a more satisfying chunk of XP when you build one of those tier 99 buildings with elder frames and planks, pushing north of 330,000 construction XP for a single building, which I think is what people wanted going in. I know that, you know, we go to you on this, Tanis, because we talked about this not being worthwhile when the fort launched. How do you feel now seeing a tier 3 command center
well,
at 331,000 XP?
I think this is the whole... This was the layer on top. I mean, yes, there was some... I think they probably made some tweaks around the edges, but I just feel like this has always been part of the four and three, you know, what we were going to have with that. And so we didn't get the top, you know, the top rates or the top methods, yeah. You know, and, upon release.
And you know, we go back to the design on this. I think Mod Jack was on the design stream when they unveiled the first fort. They said they weren't initially going to make it so that you could rebuild buildings as a construction training method, but they did, and I think they saw how people wanted that to be a viable training method, and that's why now, from level 1 to 99, we have a spectrum of options available for that. That's different than the existing training, so.
Can you guys imagine what the price of Elder Logs would have done if this was from week 1, tier 3 buildings?
Yeah. Yeah. How do you feel about this as an Iron Man, Rax? How do you feel about this as an Iron Man? Because I see this as an Iron Man method of training construction if you have done woodcutting already.
Yeah, well, that's something that I'm curious about. I wonder how much the making of the frames is going to scale in XP with the higher tier logs. Because for main accounts, that might be an insane moneymaker method if it's low, because no one wants to make them.
Right.
Because you need a lot of them to get this 300k experience. And so obviously, I can't pass full judgment on how hard it will be to obtain all these, because you will be getting them much quicker after the update, of course. But yeah, if this is current game, getting, what you said, 1,000 Elder Logs, that's going to be painful.
Yeah, and it comes down to what significantly increased has meant. And in my AFK time since this update has been announced, I've already been back at the Elder Trees woodcutting. So I'm already starting on that just to, you know, reap the benefits of some of the money coming in. As I mentioned, between 15 and 19K per Elder Log yesterday. And I'm wondering, and maybe we can look at this from the other side of the economy as well, are these buildings at tier 7385 going to be enough of a sink to sink out you and Magic's? I wonder if people use this as a training method.
Unfortunately,
it could be in the right
way. Yeah, I think unfortunately with the way they've been dropping from PVM for so long, I don't know if the especially Magic logs through Krosis, it's like. I've almost done the log for Krosis, and I have enough magic logs to last four lifetimes.
I think it is also going to come down a lot to the process of turning them into the frames, because
it's a long process,
quite tedious. And as Stannis mentions, like, you, if you have proteins, you'll probably want to use those, because you have to bank so quickly, because you use an inventory so quickly. And
it's
I personally have. I think up to magic logs, over 100,000 of each of those sitting in the bank, but there's no way I'm ever going to turn those into planks.
No, because your time's better spent elsewhere.
Yeah, exactly. Would be quicker to make the tables, I guess, but it is more intense.
Fair.
Speaking of that, I wonder, we barely touched on the wood box, but you were showing that the wood box can store wood spirits. I wonder if it can store planks. Probably not.
No,
there's
a
plank box. No,
The plank box comes from construction contracts.
Yeah,
and that's actually a good question. Is that plank box going to be upgraded to store the extra planks?
Good points.
Yeah,
could you theoretically fill your log box with 120 logs, and then make the planks out of it?
Something I was curious about as well is there a cap to how many you can store in? In the, like, there's a cap of how many logs you can store, but what about wood spirits. I'm almost at stone spirits. because, yeah, this is just additional bank space. And if there is the same cap of wood spirits, that might be slightly annoying for some.
Yeah, I mean, I think in the Twitch stream, I think he had like 700 in there, so it would look like it would be unlimited. Yeah. And when they initially mentioned it, they were talking about bank space and saying, oh, you can just store them all in the wood box, so you don't need to worry about it taking up bank space. But we'll see.
Yeah,
on Monday.
Yeah, it's going to be a good update. And as I mentioned, we'll be back next week with the XP rates and specifically on the construction and woodcutting side about this. I think that's going to be a fun discussion to have, Tanis. We'll have to get some people who have been knee deep in on both sides because we're looking at a lot of analysis for this here. Now, okay, we've gone through the wood box, log piles, bird's nest, wood spirits, construction, rebounds, and tree patch. I don't think there's anything else we need to talk about in relation to this right now here this
one
week.
One quick little thing
that
we haven't mentioned is how this woodcutting update is going to change both Croesus and Big Game Hunter. Because...
And that's, okay. Elaborate.
So Croesus, for example, acquiring fungus at the timber fungus node. If these rates are showing what they are, it might be 2 to 3x faster.
Right, like, and that boss was Hunter. Right, and that boss was balanced around the crystal hatchet with the fire torch as being the best option. Yeah. So what's going to happen now if you bring an Imkando in there? I guess right.
Yeah, and I don't see anyone talking about that. So it'll be interesting because historically Hunter is the easiest node because it's the fastest.
Yeah.
So, but we'll see.
And then we also have to ask with that what happens to the woodcutting XP rates there.
That too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because they did bring the hammer down on that Hunter training method not too long ago before the last double XP that you could just go into a solo instance and do that, but not anymore. We got you your skill update, Tanis.
Hey. So. I mean, a feast or famine, man. But the last couple weeks have been good. Mm-hmm.
And it's almost like we're, like I said, it's all about building that momentum as we head onwards towards necromancy. So.
Mm-hmm.
I thought Woodcutter's Grove was going to be in July. And then necromancy maybe August or September, but with the way they're releasing updates like this, I don't know, might be sooner than we think.
My thought is that we'll see necromancy probably in August, maybe late July, because from my understanding, we still have a quest to do in this line, so that'll probably be next month as the headliner update. Because keep in mind that Woodcutter's Grove was always supposed to be the June headliner, but Max Cash just got pushed in, so that it was consequently bringing us a second big June update. So.
I'm really expecting way later, to be honest, but okay. Maybe I'm being pessimistic.
Yeah.
Like, and I expect another wave of a couple of updates in between Necromancy.
Okay.
But yeah, I that's based on nothing but speculation.
Yeah, and I mean, I've seen in relation to the content creator stuff that was put out on those videos in the Necromancy first look, I've seen anything from soon, capital S, to later this year. So, I mean, we have a wide range of what it could be. But we're going to move on to our achievements of the week right now. So, starting off, we have Darth Wolfus with 120 ranged on the 13th, and Waffens with 99 invention on the 13th as well.
Then we have Nayard with 99 summoning on June 12th, and Halfing Spy with 120 dungeoneering, probably from the hole.
From the hole.
The beach.
Of course.
And then next up we have Mayhin with 99 summoning, and Boritzi with 99 woodcutting, just in time, I guess.
Yeah, just in time. I know how I feel having 120 right now with that, so... That's okay. Get to fully enjoy it, just like Breezy will as well. And that's the thing, is that everything is, of course, balanced to a maximum of 99, because woodcutting's not a 120 skill. All right. We have picks of the week, and we have handed off the picks of the week to our two new guests this week. So, Rex, what do you got? What do you got for yours here first?
Yeah, I got a little app called Super Chinese. You might be familiar with your Duolingos, that type of application. And yeah, I've been studying a bit of Chinese, and this is essentially a bit of a better app because Duolingo kind of has a wide net and tries to do every language. But with Chinese being a very tonal language, pronunciation is quite tricky for us Westerners.
Yeah.
And what this app does, which is what I really like about it, is it has like pretty good AI voice recognition, and it'll give you, when you practice certain sentences or words or whatever in speech, it'll give you like perfect scores, and it'll tell you which intonations and everything that you should have done.
Oh, that's interesting. Which I guess makes sense with it being a complex language, like you said, for the Westerners to master on that, because you don't really think about that. I mean, the furthest I've ever gone with another language was French, and I felt like that was a rather natural progression on that, but I could only imagine what it must be moving from, you know, English to Chinese and how that goes.
Yeah, it's interesting because I have quite a bit of experience with other languages coming from a dual lingual country.
Right.
And then obviously learning English after, also a bit of German. And so this is my fifth language, essentially, at least to some extent. I haven't mastered all of them. But it's interesting because all the previous languages I've learned, there's words and influence of all the other languages because they're all geographically so close to each other. Like there's just words that you pick up just because they're similar, but with this it is like completely different, grammatically, everything. It's just it's quite interesting.
All right, and then we go to Brad, your pick.
Sure. So it's a little less niche than the last one, but the TV show Ted Lasso, which is on Apple TV or Apple Plus TV, it captured the hearts of many, I think, during its first season, which came out during the pandemic. Everyone was going into initial lockdown, as kind of a really feel good TV show that you don't really see too often anymore, where it's just wholesome television. It just finished up its third and final season a couple weeks ago. I've just been enjoying it with my family. You know, it's a family-friendly TV show with a lot of good, you know, lessons. But it's kind of doing something, in my opinion, that not many TV shows are doing, in the sense that it's trying to just be a wholesome, funny comedy with a good message and none of the stuff that you see on the, you know, reality TV all the stuff we see on the news and everything, just to keep your mind off of that.
Right. And, you know, I feel like, and this is, and you can tell me if Ted Lasso capitalizes on this for me personally, and maybe this might influence whether or not it's a watch for me. I personally feel like big emphasis on that, the last two good decades in TV were the 80s and the 90s. I don't know if Ted Lasso capitalizes on any of that, or
I think a little bit. Yeah, it definitely has that character building of some of those shows, and yeah, like just an overall wholesome feeling. I can't think of an episode where I wasn't smiling for at least half of it. It just like a feel good, and when the episode ends, you just kind of your day is lightened up. In my opinion, so, and I've heard that from others too. So.
All right.
If you haven't watched it, give it a chance.
Fair enough. And Apple TV exclusive. Is that available in all countries, or is that just like wherever Apple TV is? It's not on any other platforms, is it?
I believe it's available worldwide. I would think so.
Okay, good.
Yeah, I mean, if you're buying a new Apple device, or I think new iPhone or iPad, I think you get 3 months free.
Right. I forgot they do that.
Or maybe
right.
more.
So that just hooks everybody in. Right.
Initially, I think it was 1 year free. So, yeah. But I don't know.
And there's those people who get a new iPhone every, 2 years or so. That's a good time where people jump into these sorts of ecosystems like that. So.
Yeah. I mean, you'll even be able to get a helmet for your iPhone soon.
Yeah, let's. Eventually. I know we were talking pre-show last week, Tanis, about that. That they're supposed to be bringing out a cheaper version in 2025 for the rest of us. What have you been up to this week on RS? Let's start with you, since we just had two picks of the week. What have you been up to, Tanis?
Well, you wouldn't believe it if I told you, Shane, but I've been killing stuff. Been killing all kinds of things for bones. I've been killing, been God Wars 1, Zami. And,
why Zamorak?
Corp. Subjugation.
Oh, right. Okay, fair.
I hadn't looked since last week, but, the gown went from like 4 mil to 17. So, that was just with the Necromancy release.
And I'm
trying to.
AFK for you? Or are you using Legacy?
I mean, it's Revo.
Okay.
I mean, it's Revo Plus, right? I'm doing it though.
All right, fair enough.
Yeah, I don't do any no combat is like totally AFK for me.
Yeah,
but yeah.
Also, I realized we forgot to mention when Necromancy launches, everybody will get 50 bank spaces and 3 new action bars, according to Mod Ryan this week. That was something we didn't that escaped from patch notes. Okay, and do you want to share where you've been for bones?
I mean, basically any bone that you know is a good bone is a good bone.
Dragons?
Yeah, everything in the dragon family. My dungeon is full of dragons and wyverns, and Eretz is still a good one. Yeah, I mean, I've been doing everything from wyverns to dragons to baby dragons to, you name it. But I'm just kind of gathering right now because I'm kind of starting to do a little Iron Man on my supplies for Necromancy. Once I have what I think I need for me, then I'll go back to selling. But
yeah, and that's the thing. We don't know how many you're going to need. It could just be a few along the way, or it could be, hundreds.
Well, I'm just kind of doubling whatever the last stack was. So I got like 2,500 big bones, and then got about 5K baby dragon, working on about 10K dragons. This is going to get real dicey when we get to Frost Dragons, but they're so... I mean, if you know what you're doing, Frost Dragons are fast, real fast.
And I know there was some discussion in the comments last week about whether or not those ones can actually go in the dungeon.
No,
they can't. Okay. All right. Fair enough. Anything else?
Nope. That's it.
All right, Brad. What have you been up to on RS?
Yeah. So, haven't been able to play like too actively. So I tried to find the most AFK way to get my golden cape possible. And then once I got that, I'm at 115 archaeology, trying to get to 120. So sitting at the, the Warforge place, trying to get some Shane luck and get a spear tip.
I've got three over my entire archaeology.
Yeah. I've heard. Trying to Iron Man one of those. So then maybe do some AFK Corp if I can build one on my own. And I mean, with that golden consignment Porter buff, it's just like so AFK. It's fun to just.
That's actually what's encouraged me to double down on finishing the cape. As well. Okay, archaeology is always good. I feel like that's the gold standard when we talk about scaling. How about your decks?
Yeah, a bit of necromancy prep, doing everything I need there, trying to get all the items on the list. And then I've been making my blessed flask on my account. But then as well, I've been doing archaeology for the first time in a long time because I have had 200 mil for a while, but on a new account, actually.
Oh, interesting.
I'm training up a new separate account that's kind of for a challenge video series type thing. But I don't want to include all the early grind stuff, so I'm kind of taking the porters that I get for free to get some nice head start in there.
All right, sounds good. And any particular thought of where you go next after? Because I know we saw the 60,000 Glacier video. Anything you want to tease on that, since that's kind of in the realm of what you've been up to?
Yeah, so as far as videos go, the Blessed Flask, I am turning into a video. That's coming along pretty well. Done some more Blender renders for that. And then the second account I'm talking about is going to be a sort of a progression series, but instead of training, it's going to be learning the melee combat skill by using it on bosses and getting the drops required to get better.
Oh, that's interesting.
While I have most of the best in slot upgrades for all the styles on my initial account, I never really used melee that much outside of AFKing. So I kind of want to bring the viewers along with the learning process and challenge myself to do the content with the drops that you need to get there, essentially.
That's such an interesting thing, because I feel like you look at ranged, you look at magic, it's fairly self-explanatory what to do with those, right? And then you can, you know, read some stuff and then you pick up the rotation. But on the other hand, I feel like we look at melee, you wind up with a completely different way of training. It's all still, it's very competitive with the other types. Of course, magic is still going to blow it away at the ultra high end, but it's very competitive, but it's just so different on that. It's something that I would like to pick up too.
Yeah, the tricky part about melee right now is, especially if you get into it at the high level right away, there is like a lot of switches going on. And it's tricky to get your head around. Yeah. So I tried it a little bit, and that's kind of where I got the idea of this series. To kind of, as I mentioned, get the upgrades along the way, and then you get used to them instead of suddenly having to use a whip, the Lang swords for this, the Zuck sword, all this stuff together. It's a bit overwhelming to start right off with that.
All while wearing the glass cannon armor too, right?
Yeah, and of course you got to swap the helm after this and that. And,
yeah, to the eraser helm and back and forth. Yeah.
It's a bit much, yeah.
Exactly. And I mean, at that point, you see why it's just, you know, sometimes simpler to go with one of the other ones. All right. Sounds good. With that, we'll include a link in the show notes to that as well. I think that would be a smart thing to do at this point. But for me, I am one shard away from finishing the Golden Cape, and it's the Artisan shard that I'm going for right now. I could also go for the Combat shard, I guess. I went for Bossing, Gathering, and Support in addition to the other ones that were basically handed to us. And I mean, I guess the thing that's prevented me from doing the Combat one is I feel like if I was to do it with Slayer, because I have to recomp still from when the Unwelcome Guests update came out, I just feel like it would be slower than, you know, going to actually, you know, just going to a mob factory and just crunching through that really quickly. But I've just been doing Artisan with construction at the beach for that, and we'll see if that one pops out soon. Otherwise, I might just, you know, decide to go and say, oh, it's time to go do Raptor Task and eventually recomp with that, because that's the only comp thing that I'm missing. I was comp before, but not anymore with that, and it might be a nice thing to get back before necromancy arrives. But
for what it's worth, my quickest shard was actually the clue scroll one. I got it in five masters and got it. It was like less than an hour. I don't know if I got really lucky or I think they're, if I read it correctly, it's now based on steps rather than caskets that you got. And I think they're weighted based on the tier. So if you have some master clue scrolls, you might be able to just get it in an hour or two doing those.
Oh, that's interesting. Okay. I never thought
I got my smithing one in like 10 seconds.
Okay, then maybe I just got lucky. I don't know.
What were you doing on the smithing side?
Literally just a daily item smithing.
Okay. Yeah, I'd say you probably got lucky on that. Did you work on the artisan shard before that? Because if I remember correctly, they're all kind of linked until the bad luck mitigation kicks in.
Yeah, true. No, I got the boss one and the combat one. You'll never guess how I got those at the same time.
Glacier?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. I did my bossing one at the Glacier on Zero Mech in about 45 minutes.
Yeah, and then at some point after that, when I was playing active for a bit, I was doing my dailies, and the first thing I did was the smithing, and I just happened to get it quickly. Just lucky, I guess.
Okay. But yeah, so, I mean, hey, and, you know, there's still 2 weeks left, and I certainly hope that I'm not going to, you know, go dry for 2 weeks, because I would like to take advantage of the buff on that. And, I mean, if I don't have it by Monday, maybe I'd consider buying it, but I should have it by Monday, I think, with how I've been going on there. But
I mean, you're not going to give 10K proteins?
Those are too valuable for that, for me.
I'm just kidding. Ooh. No, I'm totally kidding.
Yeah, too valuable for that. So,
I'm probably aware that the buff doesn't start until you get it, so you'll have 28 days no matter what. Yeah,
yeah,
nice.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah,
they didn't make a FOMO type thing it only lasts a certain period. So,
okay, well that's good. Well, I kind of want it for the woodcutting stuff on Monday, if I'm being honest.
Yeah, with the wood box, I think you should be fine.
Yeah. All right. Well, folks, we've reached the end of another episode of updates. So if you guys want these delivered automatically to you, the best way to do that is to subscribe. We're on all the podcast listeners out there, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google, Pocket Cast, Amazon, and more. Just visit update.show/subscribe and then click on your favorite one. And we're also on YouTube at youtube.com/RSBNB. That's where we post the nibbles and the video versions of the show there. Of course, you can also find last week's Behind the Crown with Mod Sponge in video form as well. If you haven't listened to that, definitely go have a listen now that this one is done. If you haven't, that was a revealing episode. Like you said, Brad, it was interesting hearing him talk about some things there that I wasn't sure if he would go there, but he did, and it made for an interesting conversation. So youtube.com/RSBNB. And of course, a big huge thank you to you guys here, Brad and Rax, for joining us. Great to have you guys both on the show here.
Thank you for the opportunity
to be here. Yeah.
And of course, look for these guys to maybe be back at some point in the future. But before all that happens, of course, Tanis and I will be back next week to discuss the Woodcutter's Grove and more. So until then, have a good weekend, everyone. See you then. Take care.
See ya.